way back in the very beginning of the year, we just said, even if Jesus is, even if anything happens, good or bad, high or low, Jesus is. We'd spent all of 2019 looking at who Jesus is, Jesus' life, and all kinds of different things. And then we said, look, even if anything, we had no clue really what was going to happen. We still don't. We don't know what 21 holds in store for us, but we know that God still is. Look, I want to remind you of the things that we looked at. And a couple things that happened for us. We started an online service because we had to. Got an app. We focused on prayer. We had a prayer, devotional, and worship every week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 9 a.m. online. And 8 of you joined us. Maybe a little bit more than that. But it's over and over again, and we've done that, and we've heard from a ton of people that that's actually been really helpful to them. In the very beginning of the year, we started this series in the book of Acts, and we went 3 months on the book of Acts. It was called Little Christ, or Christ Ones, that we would be like Jesus. And then we went through loving like Jesus in the book of 1 Corinthians. Then we kept it going. We went to 2 Corinthians, and we talked about being influencers, having a different kind of kingdom, like God's kingdom. And so right then, already we went through the book of Acts, and went through the book of 1 Corinthians and the book of 2 Corinthians. We were 3 books of the Bible in. And we just kept going with that. We looked at 1 John, love and light and truth. And we said we need to be, and in Jesus we are, undivided, undividable. And yet we've seen so much division. There's your highs and lows, right? And then we looked at being reconciled. In the summer, we looked at this little tiny book called Philemon about this runaway slave, Onesimus, who came to Christ in prison and met Paul. And Paul knew Onesimus's owner, master. His name is Philemon. And we learned how to be reconciled. And some of you have been applying that. Some of you have been avoiding it. And then we looked at Ephesians. The word therefore. Do you guys remember that phrase? What's the therefore, therefore? Well, since we are Christ one, since we are reconciled, since we are able to love like him, since we are able to be his people, therefore live like it. Have you had any opportunity in 2020 to live like Jesus? Maybe more than ever in your life, you've needed to live like Jesus. I can tell you that more than ever in my own life, the world needs Jesus. And I guarantee you, 21, no matter how amazing it is, you're going to need Jesus more than you ever did before. And so we finished with 2 things. Thinking bigger, getting this perspective of looking at life beyond this place. Death happens, but so does life. People are going to have the moments where they're super excited about everything. And then they're going to have moments where they're super depressed, super disappointed, super down. But like Matt was saying, learning to be flexible is having this thinking bigger mentality that what's happening right now is not all there is. There's more, and Jesus knows how to make things work, and we looked at that in the book of Philippians. What's a verse you might remember from Philippians? Really quick, and online, please add this too. What's a verse you remember? What's a standout verse from Philippians? There's a ton of them, but for you, what do you remember? That's all right. I'll give you a minute. You can open Bibles if you want. Some of you have your Bible on your phone. Yes, sir.
So, Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ.
Woo! Amen. Thanks, Ben. Philippians 1:6. He who started the good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Anybody else have a book from Philippians, or a verse from Philippians about thinking bigger? Anybody ever see Evander Holyfield? On the back of his robe, he had Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. But in the context of that, it's like I can do the high and the amazing, and I can do the low and the difficult. I can have much and I can have little because I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Every knee, we found out in Philippians 2, will bow to Jesus. Every tongue will confess. And so then we finished up just last week on what do you want for Christmas, but we finished with what does Jesus want. And so I'm thinking at the end of 2020, what is one way to just kind of send 2020 off, slap it on its rump, and tell it to go? How could we do that? I thought we might as well just focus on Jesus. You ever heard the phrase, I am, with regards to the Bible, with regards to God? What is I am? What does that even mean? What do you guys know about the name I am? What's that? It's the name God gave to Moses. Look, Moses is like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to these people and I'm going to tell them, look, I know I've been gone for 40 years, but I'm here to help deliver all of you. Who should I tell them sent me? And we'll read that at the very end of today's message, by the way. But it's in Exodus 3:14. He says, God says, tell them I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you. That's the name Yahweh. That's where we get that. Some people will call it Jehovah. But Yahweh means I am that I am. He's self-existent. And do you know that Jesus had at least 8 statements? And we're going to get them all from the book of John today. 8 statements that say, I am. These are the straight up I am statements. People will say to you, I don't think you should actually say that Jesus is God because he never said that. Oh, he said it so much. I'm just going to give you 8 today. So if you're with me and you're hanging in there, we're going to go to these. I'm going to unpack them a tiny little bit. But part of the new focus that we can have during difficult times is focusing on Jesus. Because whether you have high moments where you're like on top of the world, everything seems to be coming up roses, or you feel like you're on the bottom and everything's coming up dookie. If you don't know what dookie is, that's poo-poo. If you don't know what that is, I don't know what to tell you. But I want to remind you that our God is so amazing that dookie and poo-poo are fertilizer. They make things grow. All right, so the very first one we're going to look at is found in John 6, 30 through 37. Jesus had actually, later on in this passage, told people to eat his flesh because he called himself the bread of life. Let's go to this, verse 30 in John 6, 30. So they said to him, then what sign do you do? What sign will you do that we may see and believe that you are from God? What work do you perform? Like, give us an example. They'd already seen him do amazing things, you guys, but they wanted something more. And they said this, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. If you don't remember what manna is, bread from heaven. It literally came down, and every morning the frost on the ground wasn't frost. Wait, that's not frost, that's bread. It was kind of like a wafer. It was kind of sweet. And God gave them miracle, wonder bread, so to speak. He gave them bread from heaven to eat, they said. So what are you going to do, Jesus? You got anything for us? You got any bread? Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Look, there's something better than bread. There's the one who comes from heaven and gives you the bread of life. And he gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Hey, look, if Moses is a big deal, and you're saying that there's something better, then just give us this bread all the time. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. First I am statement, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you don't believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Jesus says, and I want you to look for this today. There's going to be seven more statements that we look at, but we'll look at this first one. He says the I am statement, and then he gives a definitive encouragement for us to hang on to. I am the bread of life, and if you take me in, you'll never be hungry and you'll never be thirsty. Of course, you're going to eat food and drink water or whatever, but he's talking about for your soul. No matter what happens, highs or lows, what in the 2020 goes on, you are going to be satisfied. He said it another way in Matthew. He said, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. Look, he's the only one that will fill you. Whether you're having some exhilarating highs and everything seems to be really, really cool, or you have significant lows and nothing could get worse, and then wait, it is getting worse. And he's saying you'll never, ever thirst. You'll never, ever hunger if you take in me. I am the bread of life. I'm the only one who can satisfy you. And for some of you, you're finding that that's true. And 2020 has been that for you. But for some of you, you're like, nah, I'm going to see if I can find a couple of other things that might satisfy me. And he's saying, nope, I am the bread of life. So we'll go to John 8. We just talked about this a little bit on Christmas Eve if you tuned in. Who did, by the way? Did anybody watch that? Anybody think that Pastor John might need to lead worship? Go tell it on the mountain, bro. That was amazing. All right. We're going to go to John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you feel like you are walking in darkness, would you please take a look at whether you're following Jesus or not? Now, there's darkness all around, but he's like, look, the I am statement is this, I am the light of the world. There's no question Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not, listen to that definitive statement, he will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. These are will statements. I am the light. You will not walk in darkness. You will have the light of life. This is good news for anything that comes your way. Damon, I'll say this in front of everybody. I've been praying that this would be real for you and Marlo and the boys. Walking in the light in the darkest time of your lives. And I know that that happens. I also know that it feels elusive. I love you, bro. You will have the light of life. Why? Because you have Jesus. Do you remember anything from communion just a little bit ago? What can separate us from the love? Nothing. Nothing. You will have it. I am the bread of life, he says. I am the light of the world, he says. So now, let's go to another one. John 10, verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So we got some people among us that understand animals and they understand, you know, being able to find pasture for them. I won't be able to explain all that to you. Jack, if I'd have known, I mean, I'd have you come up and you could share all this. But One thing that I understand about the whole idea of pasture is that there is a peace. There's a relaxing, there's a grubbing, there's just a chilling. My friend told me this story. What time is it when you go by a field and the cows are all laying down? It's pasture bedtime. Okay. Sorry. All right. But to go out and go about life and come in through the door and to go back through the door and to go in and out and in and out and in and out, not like go away from your salvation, but to go in and out into life, and you'll find pasture. That's the shalom. He sets a table for us, it says in Psalm 23, in the presence of our enemies. You'll find pasture, you will be able to chill. Why? Because he's the door. Nobody can be the door but him. He's who you enter into life for. You will be saved. I love that. Will be saved. I think we try to find entrances, doors, where there isn't any. And then we're wondering, why aren't you doing this for me, God? Why aren't you making it all better for me, God? Why don't I feel saved? Why don't I feel like I'm relaxing? Why don't I feel like I'm in pasture where I don't have to worry about being attacked or anything? I don't feel that. Can I ask you, church, maybe it's because you've tried to find salvation somewhere else? You tried to find it at a church. You tried to find it in music. You tried to find it in money. You tried to find it in people. And he's like, I'm the door. I am. You will be saved. You will go in and out and find pasture. You'll find that peace in the great I am. Next two verses right after this. The thief comes only, it says in John 10:10, to steal and kill and destroy. Let's get that clear. The thief. All he does is steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He's making it real clear. The thief is not him. Do you know that we live in a world, and right now, 2020, and all the just nastiness that has been this time, we have said, where is God? We have wondered, God, why? And we start to change God's job. Exchange it, really, not change it, but exchange God's job for the devil's job. The thief is the devil. We say, God just doesn't want me to have fun. God just doesn't want me to have life. He's stealing, he's killing, he's destroying. That is not God. That's the thief. Can we stop getting him confused? May we repent. May we say, I am wrong and I'm sorry for saying that God is the thief. And that the devil just wants us to have fun. You know, initially, doing your own thing, sinning, going about your own life, that initially is a lot of fun. But it's just like a number of our friends for Christmas, right? They purchased a bunch of things, way more than they could afford, and so they put it on a card. That was fun to get all those things for people. To have them think we're amazing, for them to enjoy it, for them to have a new this and a new that. Finally, it's a Christmas miracle. But what's not fun is January's bill. What's not fun is the debt that you have to get out of. But Jesus is like, no, I'm not trying to say that. I'm trying to say, I've come that you would have abundant life, full life, joyful life. And this is where we get the I am statement from, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The devil doesn't love you. The world doesn't love you. Your own flesh actually doesn't love you. Your own flesh is really selfish, and you want what you want, the appetites of your body, right? But only Jesus lays down his life for you. And only he can give you life. He's a good shepherd. He protects you. He's not just the door. He's not just bread. He's not just light. You guys, he's the shepherd. He's got the crook that he can knock out the enemy with, that he can corral you with, that he can protect you with. And he actually lays down his own life for us. Even if Jesus is, right? We'll move on. In John 11, 25 through 26, we find Jesus showing up to a 4-day-long funeral. His buddy Lazarus has been dead and in the grave for 4 days. Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, were bummed out that Jesus didn't show up. And Martha's the first one to come to him. And that's a really cool story, by the way, because if you go back a little further in their history, Mary, the sister who could have been helping Martha, wasn't helping Martha. She was sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha got super upset. Like, will you just tell her what to do, Lord? She's not helping me at all. I've got all this stuff to do and she's not helping. And he's like, Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen what's best. And that won't be removed from her. Quit worrying, Jesus says. Come and get what's best. And he was saying he was best. He wasn't an egomaniac. He's God, you guys. Do you remember this whole thing we started out, the I am statements? I am. He's saying this over and over again. I am, I am, I am. But in this case, when Jesus shows up to this funeral that had been going on for 4 days, Mary stayed and Martha went out to find Jesus. So she actually got the message from before and said, okay, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to actually just come to you. And she came. And they have this conversation. And it starts a little bit funky because she's basically accusing Jesus, which Jesus can handle it. So go ahead. But let me say this about the I am. He's self-existent. He does not need you and I to do his job for him. But he'll take us being questioning and he'll take us being doubting, but he won't leave us there. And so they're like, she says, you know, Lord, if you were here, he wouldn't die. He'd be fine. And he says, your brother will rise again. Oh, I know, on the resurrection, at the end, everything, yeah, everything will be good for us. I get it. Thanks, Jesus. And then he says to her, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You guys, hear this really clearly. He says he is the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. And then he says this statement. If you're now living, right? He who lives and believes in me will never die. This is so important for us to remember in such a crazy time as this. He's calling us to live now and believe now, not just for then, but for now. He's overcome death. And yet, people die. I want to say very gently that death right here is not the end of the story. Separation from God forever is a kind of death that only people who don't believe in the great I am will experience. You and I are going to grieve. You and I are going to suffer. You and I are going to have problems. But Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And you can experience that right now and forever. He was saying to her, it's not just a one-day thing. It's a two-day thing. Like, it's happening now. Just believe. Do you believe? And she goes, yeah, I believe you're the Christ. I actually believe you're the Son of God. Then the next I am statement for us comes from John 14. My 10-year-old daughter, Analia, has memorized a couple of passages in the Bible. This one is her favorite. Jesus said to, I think it was, who was this, Thomas? Yeah. Jesus says to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Remember these statements, right? You will live even though you die. He's saying, look, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. This is a definitive statement. You don't have life apart from Jesus. You don't have a way apart from Jesus. You don't have truth apart from Jesus. In this world, we're told, oh, it's your truth. That's your truth. That's my truth. This is how I feel. You call me this because I identify as this. You call me that because I identify as that. I know this is good for you, but it's not good for me. Now, God says you can choose, but he doesn't say there's another way other than him. He says, I am. This is a definitive statement, right? I am. You know what definitive means? It's defined. It's set. It's clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He doesn't even try to leave us with any kind of question there. So do you trust this great I am? I'll move on, but I want to remind you, if nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus, don't try your own plan. It's not going to work. So we'll go to John 15. John 15, 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That is never a word that I've ever used. Vine dresser, I mean, I've read it before. But he's the gardener. He said, look, I'm the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He's humbling himself, but he's still saying, I am all at the same time. And if you just move down to verse 5, which I don't have on the screen for you, but he says, I am the vine. We heard that twice now, right? I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides or lives in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He's not being egomaniac. He's telling us what's what. Look, I'm the true vine. You want to live, you got to be in me. You want to bear more fruit? Hang in there with me. You want to do nothing? Be apart from me. I'm going to go back to John 8 for what I think is the greatest I am statement that Jesus ever made. So I told you that he said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine, Jesus says. All these things are real. But in John 8, 48 through 59, he just says the I am statement, and it's right near the end. But if you don't mind, I'll give you a little background here. Some of the leaders of the Jewish people were believing in Jesus, and some were doubting him, and some were trying to figure him out. They're trying to figure out why he says such weird things, does such amazing things, offends them so much. And we'll just jump into this. The Jews answered Jesus, are we not right in saying that you're a Samaritan and have a demon? This wasn't a compliment, friends. Are we right in saying you're half pagan, half Jew? Oh, and by the way, you've got a full-on demon inside of you? Aren't we right when we say those things? Jesus answered, I don't have a demon, But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he's the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say if anyone keeps your word, he'll never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Like, who do you think you are? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It's my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he's our God. Look, my Father glorifies me, and you call my Father your God. It's getting heavy here. Listen, we're almost there. But you haven't known him, Jesus says. I know God. I know my Father. If I were to say that I didn't know him, I'd be a liar like you. Boom! Whoa! Hi! Let me just say that. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Verse 57. So the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Really quick, friends, why is this a problem for them? Why is this a problem that he would say, your father Abraham longed to see my day? And they're like, what? You're not even 50 and you've seen Abraham? Let's just be real clear. Why is this an issue for them? Exactly, Ben, for thousands of years. Abraham's been gone for a while. And they're like, what? Hold on now. You're not even 50. And you've seen Abraham? Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Whatever's coming your way in 21, whatever came your way in 2020, whatever will come in any of the days that you have, Jesus is. He is. He's the I am. He helps you through everything. He redeems everything. He allows you to think bigger. He allows you to be like him. He allows you to love like him. He allows you to repent. He allows you to come to him. Verse 59 shows what their response was to him when he said, I am. They picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. You guys, they knew exactly what he was saying. He was saying that he is God. And they're like, you deserve to die for blasphemy. Except he wasn't blaspheming because he is the great I am. Like I told you before, Exodus 3:14 is where we get this idea of I am. And it's straight out of the mouth of God. And I'll just read it for you. I know that it's going to be up on the screen. And I want to have you part with these things in your mind. Jesus is the great I am. He's never stopped being. He's always been and he always will be. Moses says, who shall I tell them sent me? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The I am is right there in front of all these Jewish leaders. And they're just like, you're going to die for what you've said. You've claimed to be God. And he's not claiming anything. He's just proclaiming it. Like, I'm God. I am. No matter what, I am. He's self-existent, you guys. He didn't need any of us. He chose us. He wants us. He came to us. That's what Christmas was all about, right? That's this idea of him living, breathing, dying, And rising from the dead is all about is Him, the great I am. No matter what happens, Jesus is. That might be the best thing that I've seen in 2020 is people have come to Christ. They want Him. They realize that nothing else is going to make it better. Only Jesus. And He'll walk you through it. And so as we end 2020 and we launch off into 21, I want you and I to consider something. Jesus is so beyond normal. He's so beyond normal. He's so different than us. He's the great I am. You don't have to be God because you can't be. Only He is. So don't try to get back to normal. Don't try to get back to some semblance of how we can control things. Trust Jesus. What about you? Are you willing? Are you willing to be beyond normal? Are you willing to trust God when your rights get trampled on? Are you willing to trust God when you lose loved ones? Are you willing to trust God when your marriage is challenging? Are you willing to know that the great I am will never be taken off the throne and you can never be separated from Him? We're really going to look at it in 21. I'm going to beg you to be consistent in fellowship, be consistent in the Word, be consistent in prayer, that we're going to look at beyond normal. And I beg you to live beyond normal by following the great I am, even if Jesus is, right? No matter what, He's God, and He's got you if you're His. All these I am statements had I will after that, or you will, or you shall, because He is consistent. It's His nature that allows us to have faith, that allows us to be living beyond this place, but in this place right now. So let's pray. Father, I don't want to leave people with me. I want to leave them with You. I entrust my family and my friends to You, and I pray that more than ever, they would seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. I need that. I know they do. I'm thankful, God, for the opportunity to trust You and believe You. I ask You would help us to grow in faith, to grow in harmony, to grow in life, and to make Your name known. You are the great I am, and You've shown us over and over again. And this is just a small smattering of it. And thank You, Jesus, that You hold us, and nothing can separate us from Your love. May we live like that's true, because it is. It's in Your name I pray. Amen.